at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
KMOX Home Improvement Show. I'm Rich Orris, your host, and I'm thrilled to be here with you on this beautiful day, ready to dive into all your home improvement needs and questions, home maintenance, anything that you may have going on around your home. Remember, your dream home is just a phone call away, whether you're tackling a DIY project or planning a major renovation, or maybe you just need some tips to keep your home in tip-top shape. Well, I'm here for you, so let's get those phones ringing. You can give me a call at 314-436-7900. Let's get those projects moving for you. And we've had a lot going on in the past couple weeks. Hey, it's September now. Boy, is the weather starting to turn a little bit. Temperatures coming down, really having a great time with that. Definitely appreciative. Love fall, love when the weather's getting better. A lot of different stuff you can start doing around your home also because of the better weather. So for today, we have a full 2 hour show for you. We don't have any Cardinals coming in until a little bit later on this afternoon. So last week, we actually had a day off from KMOX, and Cardinals took the entire show. But we did have, and I want to remind everybody, we've got our hour from 12 to 1 that's always on 97.1 as well. Same show, same phone number, same questions, answers, comments, conversations. We have a great time at that. So last week, we had a really good hour on the 97.1 from 12 to 1. Had a couple of interesting conversations and topics, and we spoke with Linda about painting the exterior of her home, looking for kind of the best type of paint. Should it be flat paint? Should it have some kind of gloss to it? What really works and holds up the best? Just kind of double checking the advice that she had been hearing from some painters out there. And she also kind of started asking about new siding and new windows, which the question that we get all the time that Linda had was, which comes first? If you were going to do them, would you do the windows first? Would you do the siding first? So we had a really nice long conversation about performing them simultaneously, if possible, to get the best installation and the best warranty, and to really understand and know that you're not going to have issues down the road, and you can block air infiltration, you can block water infiltration, you really have a lot better product if you can do them simultaneously. But we also kind of spoke about if you just can't, then there's ways with a little overlap in the type of work that you do from one to the other, a little more of an investment over time doing them separately, but you could look at doing the windows first and doing something around the windows to flash them as best as we can, and then when you go to change that siding at a later date, you can take that siding off, make sure the windows are flashed good, use your house wrap, go everything around there and really set that up to where when you do get to the siding, you could then do that. So either way, when you do the window installation, whether you're looking at siding first or windows first, there's going to be some siding that comes off and some siding that goes back in order to get that window as best that it can be installed in the best manner to protect your home, your investment, and everything with it. So we also had a conversation a couple weeks ago with Melanie, giving a shout out to one of our consultants here at Mosby Building Arts and a bunch of our workers and the different things that they did around her house. And so that, you know, a lot of stuff going on at Mosby, some promotions, some things like that. So great time to call and start having some projects for your home looked at. So we've got you covered with all kinds of things. We covered a lot of ground in the last couple weeks, and we plan to do the same here today. So your stories, your questions, your comments, your concerns are really the best topics that we can come up with. So you can call me right now, get in on the conversation. 314-436-7900 is how you are going to find me today. So with the better weather, there is some things that I would start to consider, and we've had these conversations a few weeks back about the how you perform some of this with your exterior concrete, with things going on around the outside of your house. So cleaning, sealing, caulking, prepping, priming, getting everything done around the outside, is we're getting into the absolute perfect weather for that. So the time to start cleaning up your sidewalks and concrete and driveways and seal them up and protect them and make sure you're caulking good, make sure you're getting that water, getting that done in the fall before winter, before we get all the freeze thaws overnight and everything going on, is the best time to absolutely do that. We're gonna have some really good upcoming weather for that. So definitely something that I would say, jump in there and consider getting into that. And talking about getting into things, we're gonna jump into our first break here. And don't forget, you can find me right now, 314-436-7900. Anything, any questions, anything you need, we've got it for you. So we're gonna jump into a break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, guys, we are back. Hey, having a good time here today. Got a lot of time for you. Got the full show. No Cardinals jumping in today. So I'm right here for you. Everything that you need for your home at the Home Improvement Show. Any questions, any topics, any concerns, any remodeling questions. Maybe you're just kind of wanting to verify, like Linda did last week, just verifying some advice, some things that you heard. Give us a call. We can help you out, answer your questions right here today. 314-436-7900 is where you will get to me. So as I run around with Mosby Building Arts and meet people, I go on appointments for those of you that are maybe newer, don't know me. So I go around every day, all week long for Mosby Building Arts, and I go to first appointments, and I talk with potential clients about their needs, their wants, their frustrations. Sometimes it's remodeling stuff. Sometimes it's exteriors and siding and windows. Sometimes it's just home maintenance things and just projects that they need. The good thing is we do everything residential, so I can help you with anything that you need residentially around your house and give just some good advice, some good thoughts on how to help and how to get through things. So as I do this, I have some really interesting meetings and conversations, and I've had a few in the past couple of weeks that were some kind of repetitive stuff that's so common in our area. And one of those things that we see a lot was the attic ventilation. I had a meeting about attic ventilation conversation, how to do it best, how do you achieve the best ventilation, what's good for that house. And so the roof was pretty well worn out. When I went to
kind of get up and inspect the roof. I walked right on right away. Before I even got up on the roof, there's a couple nail pops where they're just driving right through the shingle, popping up. So the roof was definitely in need of replacement and very worn down, and definitely some of that wear caused by poor attic ventilation around the house. They have solid soffits all the way around. They had just a couple of vents kind of cut in later on to those solid soffits. But then when you go into the attic, and I talk about this all the time with ventilation and roof replacement and how roof systems work, when installers just say, yep, we're going to put a ridge vent on, and that kind of started the whole conversation with this client, was they're looking to get a new roof. They're talking about the ridge vent being the best way to ventilate an attic. And we have done some work, a couple of different jobs for this client in the past. So they knew just enough to call me and say, can you come out and let's just have a conversation about what the ventilation truly is? And is this new ridge vent really going to completely help me? Will it be any different from the turbines that I have right now? And I can tell you, when you look at how the big, tall, spinning turbines work, when those things are working, they work really, really well. And they have for a long time. And they're the closest ventilation, exhaust ventilation anyways, for your attic to the ridge vent. The main difference is the ridge vent just kind of covers a little more area running down that whole ridge. So it can get to a little bit of area that maybe won't work as well if that turbine is only working on a calm day as kind of a static vent, where we say it's just a hole in the roof and it's just heat is rising. Then there's potentially times when that ridge vent is going to work better. But if you don't have the lower intake, if you don't have it coming in, so in inspecting the house, I get up in the attic and find a couple different things. One, of course, the insulation is pretty much right up against the roof line. So even though they cut a couple of those vents in around the soffit, which isn't nearly enough for what it would need, but better than nothing, when you get up in the attic, you can see that there's very little air actually getting into the attic because of the insulation going right up against the roof line. So we need to look at installing what we call ventilation baffles. It basically goes up against the underside of the roof. It kind of gets stapled on. The insulation can even kind of support it to hold it up, but it creates an airspace from your soffit down low up into your attic that's the same size as the cut in your ridge vent through your roof sheeting. So it then matches, and if you do that all the way down your soffit, and if you get a fully vented soffit, now you're equalizing that intake and that export of air running up the roof line, and that's going to give you your best ventilation possible. Of course, in this home, I had to come down and kind of start to talk to them about another thing that we found, because of course it's a little bit older home, and I found vermiculite insulation up in the attic. So in order to get in there and move that stuff around and put these ventilation baffles in, That's going to have asbestos in it. About 99% of it, I think, does, if not all of it, to some extent. So now we're having the conversation of, let's get you in touch with a company like Wellington Environmental that mitigates that asbestos, and they can come in and remove all of that bad insulation. But now guess what? Now you're into an insulation project, because now your entire attic's going to have no insulation in it. And really, if you're going to do it, I kind of advise them, just wipe it clean and we'll go back and then we'll put in the baffles and everything once we do our work. And then we'll insulate that whole attic really well and you'll be at a really good place. And then all of a sudden the conversation comes into length of time and what does it do for the roof? And because now the personal decisions start to happen. How much is this going to be? What kind of investment am I talking about? And is it worth it? Do I see the value in getting all that done and is it really going to help my roof? And so we had a conversation about some history of the roof. How long have you lived in the house? How many roofs have you put on it? How often did it wear? And pretty much came to the conclusion for them that, yes, it's wearing. On average, if you don't have proper attic ventilation in your shingles, the attic gets too hot and your shingles kind of cook in the summer, it just wears them out quicker. And the guesstimate average is about half the life expectancy. So if you buy a 30-year shingle, you can expect to replace it around year 15 if you have really poor attic ventilation. And that's kind of what their track was on of about 17, 18 years that their roofs have been lasting. That's about when they've been replacing it, and they've been in the house for 30-something years, so they have a good history of that, which is also a benefit to help you make that decision, is knowing that history. And then, of course, we started then into the whole conversation of the thing that it's like Murphy's Law. So you do all this work and you get all this done and you go, all right, this, I'm set up. I've got a 30-year roof. My attic's ventilating. I've seen it. It's working. I've got new insulation. It's nice and sound. And boy, it's like, what are the odds? It's kind of the same as buying a new car, and then all of a sudden, you haven't had a rock hit your windshield in 10 years. You buy a new car, and 2 weeks later, bam, you got a chip in a brand new windshield. Kind of the same Murphy's Law thing with your work and your roof is, you do all that and just keep your fingers crossed and hope that you don't get a hailstorm that wipes your roof out in 4 years and you're getting a new roof anyways. And that's the conversation and kind of the gamble of that whole thing is, a lot of people kind of say that to me. They go, well, if I do all this and I make my roof that much better, chances are I'll have some sort of hailstorm or something happens and I end up getting a new roof anyways. And I go, well, it's possible, but if you don't, then you're on the other side of that. You're replacing your roof every 15 years. And if you don't have that happen, then you're still up against it. So it's, you know, it's all about value. It's all about perception. And it's all about how you sleep at night. What bothers you? Do you have anxiety? Do you not? What worries you? And what makes you more comfortable? Makes your home better for you? And just makes you have good, solid peace of mind. And I've had that conversation over the air here at the radio. I've had it with clients at their home on, you know, the reasons to wait for doing something and the reasons not to. And I've seen water leaks where they're having this whole water issue and I come up with this whole plan to fix it. And then he says, well, you know, I may just wait a few years and maybe I'll get that work done closer to the time that I sell the house. We're probably only going to be here 5 more years, so maybe I do it 4 years from now, and I got all this new stuff that's great for the next buyer. And I'm looking at him going, well, I got two comments for a thought in that. And one is, you told me that it bothers you and you're up at the middle of the night when there's a bad rainstorm and you're squeegeeing water across your basement when you have these bad rainstorms. So if you fix it now, you can stop having to do that. You can have peace of mind. You can be comfortable and go on vacation and not worry about if that's going to happen. Plus, if you do it later for the next person, what's the same thing going to cost 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now? What if another thing happens like COVID and everything starts doubling again? And then all of a sudden, what we told you 5 years ago is now doubled like it did during COVID, and the prices just went crazy, and then the labor shortages went crazy, and it's a whole different world today than it was 5 or 6 years ago. So that's another reason to think about not waiting and getting something done so that you can be comfortable, and maybe you're getting that for a little bit less than you would have in a year or 2 or 4 or 5 years. So a lot of things to consider when we do this. And that's why so many of these conversations become kind of that personal side. Like, I'm going to give you some advice, but then I'm going to leave you to figure out what do you think is going to be best for you, because you just never know. And life hands you stuff, and that becomes so much of these decisions for everybody. It's quite amazing. When I first moved into a home, and it was around 2001, I really figured we'd probably be there maybe 5 years. My wife was going to go back to work. We did this, so we thought, well, we had about a 5-year plan for that. Well, my wife ended up pregnant with our daughter. And we ended up in that house for like 15 years instead of 5. So might have started changing some of those decisions that I might have made different ones a little bit earlier on, knowing if that was going to come. But you know what? That's what life gives you, and you deal with it, and you do the best you can. And we have these conversations with everybody every day. So I have a few more for you. But hey, if you have anything going on, any needs, any questions, any projects, feel free to give me a call right here. I can get you in. 314-436-7900 is where you will find me. We're going to jump into our half-hour break here, and we'll be back right after this. All right, guys, we are back. KMOX Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris live for you here today. Plenty of topics, plenty of stuff we can go over, but this is about you. It's about you guys. It's about everything you have going on around our great town of St. Louis. So feel free to call in any question about your home you may have. You can find me right here today, 314-436-7900. And speaking of calls, we've got Robin on the line here with a question for us. Robin, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. What do you have going on?
I've got a couple questions. They all have to do with outside and maintenance of my home. So I have a pop-up drain in my yard that was put in several years ago. And it has, so my sump pump comes out of it. My sump pump works a whole lot. I have to be built over a spring or something crazy. But it's sunk, and so it's all mushy there.
Yep.
Yeah. So my assumption is I need to dig up around it, get it lifted, and put gravel or something under it. So I just don't know the best way to handle that. That's my first question.
Okay, yeah. And basically, you're absolutely spot on. You must have heard me talk about this in the past before, because that's exactly what you need to do. And what really should have been done in the beginning is, so when you have that green pop-up, that circular, it's kind of flush with the ground, and it pops up, there's an elbow underneath it, and it uses hydrostatic pressure when the water's flowing to pop up and let the water out of it. So when your sump pump stops, then there will be some residual water in that pipe, in that elbow, somewhat in that pipe. And there's a hole in the bottom of that elbow. If it's the right pop-up in the fitting and the elbow came with it, there's a little kind of rectangular slit of a hole in the bottom of that. And that's meant to let that water out that's left over and kind of go to the grade, go to groundwater. So what you do is, You dig a hole, and I always say about the size of a 5-gallon bucket. If you can make it about a foot around, 16 inches around, and go maybe 2 foot deep and put rock in there. You can just buy some gravel in bags, put it in there, tamp it. If you can tamp it with a 2x4 or a 4x4, or if you have like a metal tamper, you tamp that and you set that height where that elbow and the pop-up is right where you want it. Then you, once that's there and you've got the height and you've got that rock tamped underneath it, you can add your dirt, soil, grass, everything all back around it, and that will have a longer lifespan before it starts sinking with the ground, because you've got water in there and it's trying to get out, so it's compacting the dirt underneath that elbow and making it sink.
Should I put something around it so I can see it when I cut the grass so I don't drive over it? Would that keep it also help keep it from sinking?
Not if you do the not if you put the gravel in there and you compact it real well.
Okay.
Then you definitely want it just high enough to where you could drive right over it with a lawnmower, riding lawnmower, push lawnmower, and it won't hit it. And you can cut your grass so you don't have to cut around it, and just keep your eye on it to know that it's not sinking or it's, the grass isn't growing over the top of it and causing it to not work. But, yeah, if you – I mean, I have a riding lawnmower, and – I guarantee I drive over top of mine, even with a riding lawnmower, every now and then, and it doesn't really affect it.
Okay. Thank you. One other question for you, sir. That is, my driveway is about 9 years old, and I want to replace the I want to refill the expansion joints, and I want to put a good sealer on it. I've sealed it a couple times, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
much of that. So do you put the – do you fill the expansion joints? Number one, I assume I have to dig out what's in the expansion joints before I put in the foam tube,
yep.
and then put in a self-leveler. But do I seal it before or after I do that?
So you could clean it all up and seal it before would be fine, because I've kind of talked about in the past, too, they also make a primer for that caulk and that self-leveling caulk that kind of helps clean the edges. But if you clean it all up and you have nothing in the expansion joints and you seal it, that'll kind of help do that too, because you can get that sealer on those edges. And then it'll give it something really good to kind of adhere to with the caulk. So that's a great way to do it. And then just caulk everything and make sure it runs away and works out, and you'll be really good. My biggest tip with sealing, if you've sealed before, is the two things you kind of have to think about when you're doing that, because it's already been sealed, is using, for the most part, like the same type of sealer, or trying to find out. I don't know if it's a topical sealer that you can see and it's gone and you can tell that it's gone, or if it's like a silicone type sealer that kind of goes in the pores, it might still be effective, and you just, unless you put water on it, it's hard to tell. So I would take a bottle of water and kind of dump water from kind of waist high around in different areas and see what the water's doing on the concrete. If it kind of beads up and rolls away, you may not need to seal your driveway. It's still effective. If it soaks in and spreads, like you just take the bottle and kind of pour some out where it makes about a 6-inch or 1-foot circle, and if it just kind of soaks in and spreads and starts getting wider, then you know you're at a point where you need to seal it.
What kind of sealer? You said two different kinds of sealers. What kind of sealer would be my best choice?
It depends a little bit how wore out it is and what you used the last time. I prefer a sealer that you can't see, and it goes kind of into the pores. It's kind of like a silicone type. It sprays on and it just kind of soaks in.
Oh, okay. Mine
not,
rolled on. So
yeah,
not
yours
bad.
Rolled on, and you could kind of see that sheen. And so, I would probably highly think about, if you know what you used before, going back to the same thing, just because if there's some areas that wore off and needs to be redone and some that didn't, it'll kind of work the same way. If there's places that your old sealer didn't wear out, then the new sealer might not work right in that area, and you could get kind of some weird stuff going on with the two different types of sealer. And then, of course, if you've got an exposed aggregate or decorative, like stamped concrete, you're doing the roll-on type just because of the type of concrete that you have.
Yeah, I'm plain Jane.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Not a problem at all. I appreciate the phone call. Great questions. And this is, like I was saying, it's a definitely the time to do it is coming up right now in the next month to 2 months with the weather and what we have. So we've got Steve on the line. Steve, if you could hold the line through this next break, I'm going to have to get into our 11:45 break here, but it's a short one, and we'll get to you as soon as we get back. And anybody else, we're right here, 314-436-7900. We'll be right back.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, guys, we are back. Rich Orris here, Home Improvement Show. We've got plenty of time left. We've got a whole nother hour after this hour, so 314-436-7900 finds me, just like Steve did, as promised. Let's get Steve on the line. Hey, Steve, you there? Can you hear me?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for calling in.
All right, I got two questions. I got a pool and a deck put in this year, and I got the deck. It's a treated cedar, and the guy that installed it said I probably wouldn't have to, you know, waterproof it or anything for a couple years, but some people say no, go ahead and do it this year, you know, and I just wanted to know and what's the best. He told me not to use Thompson's. Use something good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can use like CWP is a pretty good standard one that's easy to get to find and get, and they've got, you know, colors that they can have in there to kind of bring out the red if you like that, or kind of more brown. So yeah, I would say just a regular CWP waterproofing for cedar is perfectly fine for a cedar deck. And as far as when to do it, you definitely want it to weather some. So I typically say wait at least 6 months. When was the deck installed?
June.
Oh, it was installed in June. So yeah, I would wait till like spring to I would wait almost a year then. Let it go ahead and get through, because if it was done kind of early spring, or right at, you know, early spring, March or April, I would say you could do it this fall probably. But we say wait at least 6 months is typically to kind of let it weather and temper and do its thing. So 6 months is going to land you in the middle of winter. So you're going to be, whenever it's nice enough, March, April next year is when I would say stain that deck, waterproof that deck.
All right, thank you. My other question, I don't know if it's for home improvement, but I got a water dispenser inside, and every time I change the bottle, it takes until that bottle gets about 3/4 of the way empty before the stream, you know, fills a 12-ounce bottle. And I've watched videos, and it says just hold it down until all the air comes out. Well, I do it on the hot side and the cold side, and I cannot bleed that thing at all. I got to lift the bottle off, put it back on, and then, you know, fills half the bottle. Then I just don't know how to get the air out of the system.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that one, that's a challenging one without really seeing it or whatever. But because, yeah, usually they just bleed out like that, and then they start working, and once you get the air out. So sounds like there could be something, just kind of an issue with yours of why it's not letting all that air out the first time. I would probably aim that back towards the manufacturer to say, you know, what do you think's going on with this? Why do I have to do this? And see what they have to say about it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. You've been very helpful.
All right. Yeah. Perfect. No problem. Thanks, Steve. Good question. That dispenser thing. Yeah, that's going to be a little tougher one to figure out on a product like that. But hey, we got Jan on the line. Let's jump there and see what's going on. Jan, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, great. It's this beautiful day.
It is.
I have an electrical outlet in the kitchen to which a radio is always plugged. And recently it has lost the juice. And I punched that little white thing, and it comes on for a little bit. But what is happening?
Oh, so it's got the button on it, so it's like a GFI-protected outlet?
Correct.
And you push the button in, it'll work for a little bit, and it just keeps popping back out?
Correct.
Yeah, it's
and
probably...
And the only thing plugged in it is a radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably just older and malfunctioning. And not even really just according to age. Sometimes they can just malfunction. They will only last so long. So my guess would be you just need to replace that GFCI outlet for a new one, that it's for some reason it's something's just in there starting to trip it all the time. Now, and that's also kind of like a test factor too, to where if you replace that outlet and it still does it with a brand new one, then you probably have something down the line that has a grounding problem, because you could have several outlets in that circuit with that GFCI protected outlet, to where if there's a ground thing happening or arcing or something going wrong down the road, that could be something that's actually causing it to keep needing to trip, and it's actually working and doing what it should. But that's a little less common, and I would say change that, have that outlet changed out, and then that'll answer it for if you need to do more research down the road to try and find something different and what's all on the circuit, and make sure everything's connected well down the line if it continues to happen once you change it.
Is that the type of thing a handyman can do, just replace that the outlet before we check anything further?
I mean, I'd say yes, but it's definitely it's a surface thing that can be seen very easily. So it's not going to require any type of permitting, because you're not doing anything behind the wall. But I would still, it's truly about knowing. It wouldn't be a bad idea to get a licensed electrician to do something like that, just because if people say they know how to do something, it doesn't necessarily mean they do. And if it's just like a handyman, where I did things when I was in my 20s that I didn't probably necessarily 100% know about everything back then. And so I could have done some things not correctly or the best way just because of that. So I would say call a licensed electrician and they can get a switch for you. All right?
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Just good protection. Bye. Appreciate the call, Jan. Great question. And something we see all the time here. But so, hey, we're going to get into our break here. But don't forget, we got a whole nother hour for you. You can find me, 314-436-7900. Anything that you need, home improvement, I'll be right here a whole nother hour after this.